Confidence isn't just personal, it's contagious. When one woman steps up with certainty in Signature Facility's work, it shifts the tone for everyone around her.
We're diving into how that ripple effect inspires peers, transforms cultures, and opens the doors for the next generation of women leaders.
All right, y'all, before we get started today, don't forget to like and share this episode and subscribe to the Innovation Room wherever you get your podcasts. Now, let's dig in. We are talking all about confidence today, and I think that one of the biggest misconceptions about confidence, especially for women, is that in order to project confidence, you have to be the loudest person in the room.
That's right, Tori. And while the boldness of that kind is one way of projecting confidence, many women lead through collaboration, technical expertise, and quiet authority. These diverse styles expand what leadership can look like in our industries.
So true. And for you and I, like, sometimes we are the loudest ones in the room. Like, let's just say it. It's okay. We can call it out.
Let's be honest.
But, you know, I think it's really true that there are so many different flavors of leadership. In fact, what comes to mind is a board that I was serving on a number of years ago, and it was for a women's leadership institute, actually. And when I joined the board, the chairperson at the time she was a beautiful leader, but she was much more quiet. And her style of leadership in the board setting was really to let people speak fully. She was an empathetic listener. Definitely, you wouldn't look at her or listen to her and think, like, wow, she's this charismatic, like, dynamic person. And she wasn't that, but she had this sort of peaceful sense where you really felt like you would be heard and understood as a member of the board, and that she was going to really consider things in an intentional way, I think. Right. So there are so many different flavors of leadership.
Absolutely. And I look at just like women in this industry, which is an interesting topic, because for such a long time, this was definitely a male-driven industry. And totally. It's hard. It's hard to be in leadership. I know some in the industry we have a lot of female-run even businesses, and to make your footprint in this industry, but it's growing so much more and allowing women to have that confidence to step up and to be able to lead their teams. And us seeing other successful women in this industry and how they can grow and how they can be that diversity and what the changes and how that shifted is just so interesting. Obviously, we still love our male leaders as well. Absolutely. They're still there. But I think it just, there's a different aspect to a female leader. And I think when I look at some of the female leaders in this industry, and like you said, the difference in how they lead compared to potentially others. And there are different styles, but I think one thing that we talked about that stands out is that quiet authority. Mm-hmm. And I think females are very good at this. They're good listeners. They're good with compassion, and they're good with executing. As females, a lot of times we juggle so many things. And so we're good at executing and kind of giving those tasks away and really delegating. And so it's really interesting to see some of those inspiring women that we watch and learn from, and how we can continue on learning from their confidence.
100%. And, you know, just across businesses in general, this is true of Fortune 500 companies. It's true of like mom and pop, much smaller operations, but companies with women in those leadership roles, right? Whether you're a C-suiter in a Fortune 500 company or you're a small business owner, right? Those businesses tend to actually have higher financial performance. And I'm sure we could dive into like all the granular reasons why that might be, but I think the larger picture or point here is that having the breadth of leadership qualities or just the different things that women bring to the table really do add value to organizations. And so it's just, you know, we want to encourage female leaders out there. Rhiannon and I are both leaders in our company. And so it makes a difference. And I don't know if this is an unpopular opinion. I don't I don't think it is, but I'm a big believer in when you're hiring someone that you should hire the best person for the job, mm-hmm. whether that is a woman or a man, like it, you should hire the best person for the job.
Right.
But it is valuable to consider the different qualities and characteristics that each gender brings to the table. I think that there are things that are innate and fundamental in women, and the same, there's things that are innate and fundamental in men, and both have tremendous value. Obviously, since we're ladies, we're going to talk about how awesome ladies are, but just want to put that out there that it's important to kind of hold those things together and really value both.
And I've read some statistics where in a boardroom, if a woman, you know, I think we do have that feeling that we have to be the most powerful or the loudest in the room mm-hmm. in regards to get our point across sometimes in this type of role, in this type of role as a leader. And there are statistics where if a woman would stand up and say the same thing as a man in that room, she's more looked at as nagging or basically abrasive.
Yeah, where, she's described in like negative ways.
But then if a man said the same thing, he's looked at as intelligent and knowledgeable and yeah. a leader. And mm-hmm. it's so interesting how it's almost subconsciously we do this and we don't recognize that. And so it's just interesting to see that there are still those statistics out there. So I think that as a woman, being bold and courageous is important. And I'm going to ask you, Tori, like in your role, you are not only a woman, but also young in the company. Mm-hmm. And so what gave you the confidence that you would tell others to keep going or to shoot for that next level in regards to management?
That's a great question. I think I wanted to take on the current role that I'm in because I wanted the challenge. I'm a little bit of not, I wouldn't say I'm extremely this way, but to an extent, I'm an achiever, right? And so if I'm given an opportunity or asked to apply for an opportunity, like I want to take it because I want to prove that I can do it. And so I think that that mindset doesn't belong to everyone, and that's okay. But what I would encourage folks to do is really shift, whether you're a woman or a man, like shift your understanding of leadership. Mm-hmm. You don't need to view it as you have to be the person in the front of the room. Leadership at its core is about influence. In fact, I think I just saw an article from Simon Sinek last week. And the question he asked was, would you still want to be a leader if no one knew your name? Like, would you still care enough to serve people as a leader? And that was a little bit of like a perspective shift for me in the sense that I like to be encouraged and congratulated for my achievements. At the same time, that's not really what leadership is about, right? Leadership is about influencing people positively. It's about serving, at least in my opinion, it's about right. serving other people. That's the model of leadership that I try to follow. What can I do in my role to make sure that my team is really successful? I think, Rhiannon, you probably share that approach.
I think, Tori, what you're talking about is the difference yeah. between management and leadership, like true
Yeah, that's
leadership.
A great point.
Mm. And I would agree with you wholeheartedly when you're thinking about a position where there's a position open in your company or there's a position open in another company, and whether or not you're going to take that leap and you're going to go for that position. I think the first thing you have to think about is, why do I want this position of leadership? What makes me tick? What makes me feel fulfilled at the end of the day? And leadership, like you said, is at its core, it is very humbling. You have to be humble yes. because looking at your team, and for me, like when my team shines, when they're doing good, like that makes me happy and that fulfills me. And are you really wanting to empower people and lead people to better themselves, or are you wanting to better your own position and your own position within the company? And obviously, yes, we all want to be successful. So yes, that coincides with it. But are you looking for a position of power, or are you looking for a position of influence?
Yes, that is the absolute best way I think of looking at it. And if your motivation comes solely from a place of, I just want to improve my own position, or I want to get paid more. We all want to get paid more. But like, what is the foundational motivation for you? And if you find that it comes from what are honestly like pretty selfish motivations, maybe you should take a step back and kind of reconsider where you're at in your own professional journey and your own personal journey, because ultimately you will not be an effective leader. You won't really even be an effective manager, honestly, if you're not willing to put your team first.
And I've said a thousand times that not everyone is cut out to lead people, to manage people. It's not everybody's cup of tea. And even if you want to move into different positions, sometimes we feel like that's the only thing that we can do is we can go to management or go to that next level to get us further in our career. Mm-hmm. And what we need to do is do a deep dive within ourselves and say, am I cut out for this? When we're talking about the nitty-gritty, the not so fun parts of leadership and management, when we have to deal with the hard things and the people things, the personnel issues and things like that, not everybody truly is, that's a good position for them. And ultimately you get into a place where you're not only hurting yourself because you're not, you don't feel good, you're hurting the company and you're hurting the team as well. So it's a big, well-rounded, and I would just suggest anybody that's looking to do that, you know yourself better than anybody else. Do that deep dive. And if you feel like, yeah, listen, I do have, I can have influence other people. I've influenced other coworkers, people that are even in the same seat as me or the same position as me. And I am somebody that can encourage. I would say go for it. Give you that confidence. You don't know what you can do sometimes until you try. And I think sometimes we're our own worst critics, especially as women. And that would be my biggest advice, is go for it, because nine times out of 10, you know yourself better and if better than anybody else. And if you say, hey, I can do this, other people will believe you as well. And go in with that mindset that I know I am a good candidate for this position. I know what I can do. I know how I can turn things around here. And just, I've heard the fake it till you make it situation. Or a thing, but I would say you're not faking it. Just be authentic. Just be you. And you're going to get far if you are your authentic self.
Okay. So we've talked a little bit about leadership and building confidence when you're a leader, and is this the right time to step into leadership? But we also want to talk about what happens when things go wrong, right? Let's be honest, mistakes happen, and that's okay. And really, no matter how gifted or experienced you are, no one can protect from or predict every incident or mistake.
You're completely right, Tori. And really, the difference is in how you respond. Do you move forward with fear, anger, or from a place of humility? For women especially, turning setbacks into credibility builders can become very powerful and become a confidence driver.
That is so true. And I can think of a mistake I made last week that was not small. so it happens all the time, right? Whether they're small things, you forgot to follow up on an email, or really big things where you, like, I totally forgot to do this whole deal. And it was turned out fine. And I owned that. But I think that kind of is the key, right? When you run into situations where you just forgot or whatever it might be, owning that and taking responsibility is absolutely the first step. Nobody likes to work with someone who can never take responsibility for their own actions. Like, that is one of the worst characteristics.
One of my biggest pet peeves, to say the least.
Yes.
And I think just being truthful. We are all human. It happens. And I tell my team constantly as a leader, I know we're going to make mistakes. I know they happen in this industry, and especially mine. We work in the repairs industry. It's crazy. We're fixing things all the time. And sometimes we have no control over it. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we, like you said, Tori, we just forget. But the communication is what is so important and makes such a difference in how that is delivered. And I encourage my team constantly, let me know if something goes wrong, because yes, we can address it. But of course, I want to know before the client knows. I don't want to get blindsided by anybody. And as managers, as leaders, we don't want to get blindsided. So that is the biggest thing that I have said to my people is communication. And then once we fix the problem, the actual, like, sometimes there's, it's, hey, we got an issue and we got to fix it right now. There's always time to like turn around and regroup. And that's when you're not reacting. It's going to be a more productive conversation, and it is going to be a healthier conversation. And I would encourage people, when they have to have a conversation about something that happened or a mistake that happened as a leader, and you have to potentially correct, not necessarily behavior, but correct something, have one of those conversations that sometimes aren't hard. A, you need to first remember who you're speaking to. And as a leader, you should know your team well.
Yes.
As a woman, we're really good, again, at getting to know people and getting to know them at their core. And I'm not saying just women do that, but that is one of our characteristics. We're good at relationship building. And know your team. Know who you're speaking with, because that conversation can look different from one person to the next. And then, again, let them know that this happens. Here's how we correct it. And you know what? I'm going to encourage you to not micromanage you from here on out and make sure that I'm following every single step of the way. But I know you hear me, and I know that you're one of our best employees, or whatever that conversation looks like. And keep going. You're doing a good job. At the end, you want to circle back to what they are doing well, and what, because it's hard to hear you messed up for anybody. But I think it also starts with the leader themselves. And the worst thing is having a leader that throws their team under the bus constantly. Oh, it's this project manager that did that. It's this project manager. Ultimately, my team is my responsibility. And if somebody messes up within my team, from me and above, it's my fault. I handle that. And then we'll take care of that internally as a team. So those are my kind of tips and tricks for if things get messed up or we make mistakes in our team.
Yeah, no, I think that is a great way of doing that. And really what you're talking about is modeling the way that you want your team to handle mistakes in recovery. It's living by example. And there is no better way to teach, whether children or young adults or even seasoned senior people, like modeling the way that you want someone to handle something is the best way to get them to do that themselves. And it also just, when you handle mistakes that way, it just really builds trust on your team. And they know that they can come to you and say, I messed this up. Or even when they maybe don't know that they messed something up, and you go to them and say, hey, we need to have a conversation. Like, they trust that you're going to treat them with respect and genuine care. And so that they're not afraid, or they're not just like living in this constant anxiety of making a mistake in the future and not being able to handle it, or that you're not a trustworthy person.
So in our teams, we've read 5 dysfunctions of a team. Is that what it's called, Tori? And the building block to that is trust. And if you are a leader and you are missing that first building block, nothing else is going to go well. If your team does not trust you fully to have their backs, that, you know, then things are going to fall apart very quickly. And what we're talking about here, I think truly at the end of it, is coaching versus correcting. I think there's a big difference. And I think that you will see a big difference if you approach it in a coaching standpoint versus a correction standpoint. So, Tori, we've talked about confidence and boldness. Then we talked about how to handle when there are mistakes or errors. Now we're going to talk about the unseen work, and knowing that not all leadership happens on the shop floor or in the C-suite. Some of the most vital work, like coordination, communication, relationship building, it often goes unrecognized.
But these are the exact skills that keep, in our industry, keep the signs moving out and getting installed, right? It's what makes maintenance projects happen. And so we just want to take some time to really own and name that value, because it is, it should be a confidence builder. It's hard because, right, when you're doing that background work, it's not always celebrated in the same way as, like, you know, a salesperson lands a huge client, right? Or you're the CEO and you're going out and speaking at these large events, right? There are people in the background, whether you are a leader or someone who's on the front lines, right? That work that nobody else sees is really important too.
Absolutely. And it's hard because, especially in our industry, and we do repairs and we also new signage and stuff. Like you said, the salespeople and the people that are on the front lines, they get that recognition a little mm-hmm. bit more, and they're in front of everybody, where it's kind of few and far between, even from clients that we get, that's amazing, you're amazing. And I think as human beings, we all have this innate need for that confidence booster, that confidence build, the attaboy, you're doing a good job. Mm-hmm. And some people less than others, but mm-hmm. at our core, we just want to know that we're doing a good job. And so I think it's so important, as we're talking about leaders and female leaders, to make sure that you acknowledge and see those people internally in your team. And it could be something so small. It could be a project manager answering another project manager's question. So mm-hmm. in my team, I open up for discussion within my team on the background, because obviously I have project managers that have been here for a long time. I have project mm-hmm. managers that are just starting out, and we have that wide range. So as a manager, I see like a question being posed on our team's page and someone jumps in and answers that question for them. On the background as a manager, I should be recognizing, hey, that was a really good job that you did there. And thanks for jumping in and answering that question. And it's just those little things that people don't realize. Like, mm-hmm. and you can be a leader without the leadership title. And often it is those people that do move forward and do move up in their career in that leadership, because they're leading when they don't have that title, when they don't have that paycheck maybe. And it's so important to recognize that. We took a potential new hire to lunch the other day, and she was asking like the good and bad parts. What's your favorite part of this job and everything? And it was a perfect example, because one of my project managers stepped in and was explaining things so well and so fluently. Mm-hmm. And just, it was afterwards, one of my other managers recognized it, and she said, he did a really good job just kind of basically selling our team and selling what we do and what we did. He didn't have to do that. He didn't. And so afterwards, we both actually jumped in and said, hey, thank you for that. We really appreciate you just advocating for us and ever advocating for our team. And you were so well spoken with what you said and how you said it. And I think that just goes so far.
100% true. It's kind of a matter of reframing these soft, intangible skills of like recognizing when someone else needs support, or communicating well, or owning a mistake, right? These intangible qualities, right? In your own mind, reframe them as essentially like leadership currency. Like this is hard money. This has actual tangible value. And so then when the time comes maybe for you to step into a role with more responsibility, or maybe you're on the job hunt, right? Like, how do you in your own mind frame those skills as hard leadership currency? And also, how do you articulate that to other people so that they really understand the kind of value that you bring to the table, right? The soft skills, like for me, I am by no means the like most fabulous marketing technical person in the world. Like let's not beat around the bush. Okay. I know just enough to be dangerous, but for myself, some of the skills that are most valuable in me as a team member and as a leader in our company are the soft skills that I bring to the table. And so I had to consider those as I was, you know, as I've been navigating my career and really learned how to articulate them to other people, and then also, of course, demonstrate.
Absolutely.
Them, right? Going back to that leadership, or excuse me, the setting the example, right? Modeling the things that you want other people to do well. So how do I model the soft skills that I think are a real strength for me? And so just kind of think about reframing that in your own mind. How do you view that? Not as a soft thing kind of in the background, but as like, right, here's what I bring to the table.
And I think that's so important. And as, again, we're looking for jobs and things along those lines, think of those soft skills, because those are huge. And
yes,
I think that you hit on such a good point. It is so hard to translate that and to put that into, how do I teach that? Because not everybody is kind of like that natural born leader, and everybody has different characteristics and skills that they're really good out. As a leader, bring those skills that you see in them out as much as you possibly can. But really, I think it's almost practicing how to hone on what those skills that you're really good at, and how can I extend that to the rest of my team. And I think that's also really important for me as to why I truly hire for culture over knowledge and background. Because in a job, I truly believe, obviously, not everybody can go be a doctor. We need the technical skills behind that, or I can't go code computers, things along those lines. But for the most part, a lot of the job learning is in-house, because you can go to college for marketing, for whatever. Each job is going to be unique. Each company is going to be unique. And you're going to have to learn what your job is when you're there on site and actually doing it. So it is so important to hire for culture. And as a woman, and with confidence and looking for those jobs, look for companies that value, value the culture, and look for a company that matches what culture you feel like you are and that matches your like identity and your beliefs and how you are. And I think that is truly valuable, and I think when a company values that and you see that and they see that in you, that's automatically, when you align so well with somebody like that in a company like that, it automatically boosts your confidence. It's kind of like a salesperson. When you truly believe what you're selling, you're successful. And I think that's the same in leadership as well. When you truly believe in your people and your mission and your values, you're going to be successful as a leader.
I love that. So Rhi, I want to get your take on this, because sometimes we need to cultivate in ourselves qualities that might not be innate or that feel natural to who we are. So what would you say is the one, like if you had to pick one kind of soft skill, this unseen work that we're talking about, if you had to pick one soft skill for people to really work on in order to build confidence for themselves, what would you choose?
Communication.
Yeah.
I think it's something that we all are continually learning. And again, talking to different people and how we effectively communicate, especially in this digital world, because communication is so powerful. And I have completely witnessed on my team when I've failed at communication, or I failed at how I relayed a message, or an issue, a hard issue that we had to go through. And I know at the end of that conversation, it didn't go well. And then there's times where I'm like, that went as expected. I got my point across, but they feel good at the end too. So yeah, communication is just that one that I think we're all striving to work on, but that's just me. But I also, here's a tip for me too, and I've said this in many of our podcasts, I hire people that are really good at what I'm not. And I think as a leader, that's a really, that somebody is better at technology than you are.
Yes.
And you can lean on them and they feel empowered because they feel needed. They feel wanted, and they feel like, okay, hey, I know that I'm good at this. She's told me that I'm good at this. And I think in the end also, as a leader, that if you can create a team that is self-sufficient and doesn't need you, which is really hard as a leader, because especially as a mom and a woman, you want to feel needed. You want your kids to need you still, but you want to let them fly. We got to send them off in the real world someday.
Yeah.
And I feel that same way within my team. If you can create a team that almost doesn't need you, I feel like you've done a good job, because if that wheel is turning and they're not constantly running to you with problems. They know how to fix those problems. They've been there. They've done their, they've been empowered to do it before. That's huge. And then again, it gives you another, a more reason it let's, what's the next challenge? What do I need in my team? We've made this step. We've got to this point. What do we do next? Because hey, I just told my boss and Tori that I'm leaving for a couple of days and I know that my team is going to be okay. They're fine. I don't have to be constantly worrying about what's going on and what they're doing because I know that they're great and they have things under control. Mm-hmm. And when you tell your team that on a regular basis, the confidence that it builds. Mm-hmm. And I always say constantly, I'm nothing without my team.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And I want to just tag on one thing here, kind of a part of this communication conversation. In order to communicate well, I think you really have to listen first. And great leaders model this. I've seen Rhiannon do it like all the time, listening, whether she's in a sales conversation or she's interacting with me or with her own team, right? Listening first is, in my opinion, I think one of the best ways to actually build confidence, because it's really hard to speak confidently. You can do it. You can fake it till you make it. But it's really hard to speak confidently about something that you actually don't know anything about because you didn't take the time to listen. Mm-hmm. So listening well contributes then to that team dynamic where you do have that great foundation of trust. And so that Rhiannon, because she's listened well to her team and she knows their needs and knew how to cultivate their skills, and also because hopefully they're listening well to her feedback and direction, right? Now they've created this great team that functions at a really high level together so that she can go off and enjoy a vacation for a few days and not worry about her team, right? She can trust them to handle client concerns and that they don't constantly need her. So I think, yeah, in order to communicate well and build that foundation, you have to listen first.
Mm-hmm. As Tori would say, all right, y'all. Confidence doesn't stop with one person. It 100% creates ripples.
That is so true. When women lead with confidence, right, they don't just change company culture, but they're really kind of inspiring the next generation of talent. And that's what we want to talk about right now is what kind of, we want to talk about legacy. And I always like, I kind of chafe at the word legacy because I don't personally want to live my life or be a leader, whether it's in my workplace or my church or my family, where I'm so concerned about how I'm going to look in the future that I can't be present and doing good things for my people, for my family, whoever it is right now. So I think this whole like legacy conversation can be a little bit tricky because you don't want to get so caught up in the future that you don't actually do the things you need to do in order to build a legacy now. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And sometimes that can actually hinder confidence if because it can be intimidating. We've all had, or at least I have, had experiences where, so-and-so did it this way. And I've had in my professional setting, so-and-so did it this way, so-and-so did it this way. There's definitely a thing to be said, somebody who went in and did a job and did it well. But you also want to put your own stamp on it, and that's okay too. And we need to have that confidence to be able to understand that, that it is okay to put our own stamp on things. So yes, you want to leave a legacy. You want people to say, like, I would love to, I think mentor is the better word. Like, I would love to be a mentor and have somebody say, like, Rhiannon really helped me in my career, but I just want to be the pathway. I don't want them to copy me, if that makes sense.
Totally. Sort of like, at least this is what they say about raising kids. I don't have any experience in this realm. But right, the idea is that you want to raise your kids to be even better than you were, to be more successful, more kind, more whatever it is. And I think the mentorship and leaving a legacy is that same idea. And
I have a 17-year-old daughter and I'll tell her things like, don't do this, don't do this. And she's like, Mom, look the mistakes you've made in your past, or look what you did. And having a conversation with a teenage daughter is like talking to a brick wall sometimes.
Yeah.
But That's what I tell her constantly. Yeah, we all make mistakes. I want you to be better. I want you to learn from me and grow and be a better human, be a better person, be smarter than me. Don't make the same mistakes. We all want that. And again, I think as leaders, bosses, managers, people that are looking for that power aspect of the job, that's hard because to say I want somebody to be better than me, especially if you're somebody that is very driven and very goal oriented and you hit that goal, you have the highest sales that company has ever had. Great. But you are, there will be another generation. There will be somebody in the future that hits that goal or hits that mark and breaks that record. And I think somebody that truly wants that for the next generation or the next person even in that role. And if you're the person who knows, like, I'm going to set up this and make this legacy for the next person, I think that's, again, when you're a truly successful leader. There's not the I in there and what am I getting from this?
100%, right? It really leads to a generational impact, right? Whether it's with your children or in your company, it's a like you being confident and leading well, or even if you're not a people leader, influencing others in a positive way makes the whole industry better. It makes your company and your team better, but it improves the whole industry. It's so funny. I was watching, there's this show in like the late 90s, early 2000s. It was pretty popular. So Rhiannon, you're probably familiar with it, called Frasier. Yeah, right. So it's a spinoff of the Cheers of Cheers. Yeah. And in one of the episodes, Frasier, there's accidental reporting, like there's in the newspaper that he died. And so, of course, there's this obituary and he's reading all this and he's like, oh my gosh, like this is my obituary. Is this what people like think of me? Is this my legacy? And he goes in this whole bender of like, I'm going to climb all the mountains and I'm going to do all the things. And then kind of at the end of the episode realizes that in order to make an impact on people, right? He's a psychiatrist in the show. He's already making an impact. He's doing good work. He's positively influencing people, right? And so whether or not your obituary reads that like you climbed Mount Everest or you were a kind person, right? There are different kinds of legacies to leave or different definitions of success. And so you have to figure out what does that look like for me? Rhiannon's definition of success is different from mine. She's raising three wonderful kids and that's a part of her legacy, is raising great kids and influencing her team and impacting their lives. Different ways to think about it, I think.
I think something that I want to add to that is you don't always know when you're influencing somebody. Mm-hmm. And sometimes somebody's looking at you or looking up to you and you don't even realize it. And that happens with my kids all the time too. Yeah. Like certain things stick in their heads that I'm like, I didn't even think you were listening to me. And they're like, Mom, remember when you said that? And I'm like, you actually were listening. Right. So it's, you never know what's really going to impact somebody or influence somebody. My suggestion there, especially in the work-related professional industry, when you're at trade shows, when you're at client interactions, but also how you carry yourself outside of work, you are always being looked at. That's part of the world that we are. So how you carry yourself, what you do, your kindness, your character, your professionalism doesn't just end when you walk out the door from work. And you can be at a situation that's a social situation and somebody sees you acting a certain way. And I'm not saying we all have to be perfect all the time. That's not what I'm saying. But our circle of influence sometimes is bigger than what we realize. And I think that I want to be known as somebody in the industry that is professional, that is knowledgeable and caring and wants to help others, wants to answer questions. I want them to know that in my different committees, if there's something that they need, I am more than willing to step in and help. I would love to help in the different causes. So just be aware of that circle of influence. And when sometimes we only think that we're influencing a very small part, there's a difference between our circle of control and our circle of influence. And I think that's so important to remember. All right. So Tori, we've talked a lot today, and what we want to end with is building confidence as a female in the signage industry isn't about fitting in. It's about basically reshaping the standard. When women bring their full confidence to the table, it doesn't just benefit them. It strengthens their teams, improves the culture, and boosts company performance.
Totally agree. And if you're looking for a confidence boost, we would love to give that to you. Or, you know, talk to your manager or your mentor and ask for a little encouragement. That's okay too. And there's so much good in the world to be done. And we hope that y'all, as our listeners, can be a part of that. So thanks for tuning into our conversation today. Don't forget to like and share this episode, subscribe to the Innovation Room, and let us know how you or the women in your company are building confidence and making an impact in a positive way. Until next time, y'all, keep innovating.